It's always good to step in this pulpit and bring you guys a message from God's Word. You guys are an inspiration to Peg and I, and we appreciate having the opportunity to bring you here and to teach a lesson from in Bible study as well as bring a sermon. Happy Mother's Day to all of you that are mothers. It's a day that is set aside so that we might honor the mothers in our lives. The lesson this morning I've got titled Stay Alert. And I thought it appropriate to talk a little bit about mothers here because it seems like, at least my mom, you know, some people said they had eyes in front of their head and also in the back of their head. I think mine also had two on each side because there wasn't anything that got by her. She knew what was going on. She stayed alert to what was going on. She paid attention to what was going on. Things that she didn't really have a response to or knowledge of, she always laid it off to woman's intuition. And that's strong. It's not just something that we talk about, it's there. And mama usually knows if something's not right. Yeah. If something's not going on, you know, if something's going on that shouldn't be going on, usually mama knows. So, praise to you mothers. I understand more than some, I think, about the woman's intuition and how it plays a part in all of our lives. And I thought, you know, being that said, the sermon topic, staying alert, fit right in there because of women's intuition and the fact they had to stay alert to get the little kids raised to where they needed to be. Even though the dads had, you know, a big play in that also, but it seemed like mom was the one that was always around. So in life, we have a lot of things that we have caution with. Sometimes you'll drive by a building or even a street. It's got caution tape written all around it. Something's happened. Maybe there was a fire inside the building and it's not safe to go in. Maybe there was a bad accident on the street and it's not safe to go down that street because the police are responding to what's going on there. You know, it could be any instance of that. Maybe a water line broke and the street's all flooded. Or, you know, as far as maybe a robbery took place inside the building and it's all torn up. So we have caution tape. We have first responders lights. Ambulances, they have their lights on. They get out of the way. Fire trucks have their lights on. Police turn their lights on. Not necessarily to get out of the way, but you broke the law. Time for you to pull over. We have brake lights. Unless they don't work. But we have brake lights on our cars to caution the person behind us that we're slowing down and maybe coming to a stop. We have stop lights on the highways at the intersections. Red lights mean stop. Doesn't mean to push on the accelerator and go on through. It means stop. The yellow in the middle means caution. Be careful. Stay alert. Know what's going on. Green means go. We have home security systems. Cameras on the doors, cameras on the windows. Everybody's got all kinds of security on their homes these days because of what goes on in neighborhoods. Homeowners, be cautious. Homeowners, stay alert. Train whistles. I remember back in the day when we lived on a farm, western Nebraska, we had Union Pacific Railroad ran through there. Every intersection, they'd blow the horn. Let people know they were coming. Let people know to be cautious. To let people know, stay alert. And invariably, somebody would try to outrun the train. And they'd end up either being killed or car hit, pushed off in the ditch. It's a bad thing to tangle with a big train. So stay cautious. And we have car alarms. All the new cars have a car alarm on it. You push a button, it goes beep, beep. If you lose it out in the parking lot, you can push the alert button. It'll beep and you can go find it. You know, there's all kinds of things that thing will do. But the main thing is, if someone taps your car and a horn starts going off, it says, buddy, be cautious. I got you. Stay alert, what's going on? So those are some of the things we have in our everyday life You know, that caution us. There's probably more. You may have some of your own that throws caution up to you. When my wife raises her voice, that's a caution sound. Be careful, stay alert, you're in trouble, buddy. You know, so we all have different things that go on. So I'm going to end with talking about thieves in the night. We all talk about how Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. And it kind of rolls off our tongue, and we don't think a whole lot about it, other than that's just the way it's going to be. So what does that really mean?
Be alert.
Be cautious. All right? Thief in the night. Used to be, not so much today, because it seems like there's robberies and thieves and everything going on 24 hours a day. But it used to be, but most of that was done at night. And that was the reference here. The thief, maybe he's coming into your home in the middle of the night. Takes what he wants and leaves. Or it's in one of the stores on Main Street or downtown somewhere, and they break in and take whatever they want. That thief came in the middle of the night. Nobody knew he was coming. Nobody knew to be prepared for what they lost. The thief in the middle of the night. That's the kind of situation that Jesus is going to come. We don't know when. We don't know for sure who he's going to take and who he's going to leave. We know that he's going to take Christians. We know that he's going to take those that are steadfast with God. But in our own mind, we don't know who those people necessarily are. We'd like to know. We know a few. But God knows. And Jesus knows. And in the middle of the night, some night when we're not aware, he's going to come like that thief in the night. Not maybe at night, but he's going to come like that thief in the night. And those that are righteous are going to rise, and those that are not are going to be cast away. That we know. But he's going to come like that thief into your home or into that business place or into your car or wherever. I'll look at Matthew 6, 30, 34, because there's a lot of caution signs and there's a lot of alert signs and instruction in God's word. I've just picked a couple, three different passages that I want to talk about. I'm sure you've got other passages. Sometimes, you know, when you're kind of at your wits' end and need help, you've got scripture you go to. Matthew 6, verses 30 to 34. Matthew 6, verses 30 to 34. It says here that, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Sometimes we get situated in our own lives and we think about us. We don't think about God. We don't think about everything that he's done for us. And here it says, if he clothes the grass of the field, don't you think he'll clothe you? Therefore, now this is kind of tough sometimes. Do not worry. And I talked to Eddie yesterday. I've got another sermon that I want to bring you guys. There were some that weren't going to be here today, so I wanted everybody here. It's called, Is God in Control? I'm using this as a preclude to that sermon, which I'm going to do on the 9th of June, I believe it is. So keep that thought in mind as we talk about this and into the one on the 9th of June. It says, do not worry. It says, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So it's not that he doesn't know that we need them. It's not that we don't need him. The fact is, he will provide him. But here's what you have to do in order to get those provisions. You have to stay alert. You have to stay cautious. And you have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you're doing that, everything else will fall into place. You don't have to worry about caution signs and alert signs and red lights flashing and all. If you're legitimately seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's where your mind and heart will be. And the rest of that verse says, if you're doing that, and all these things shall be added to you. You won't have to have the worry if you're legitimately seeking God and his righteousness. Therefore, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. What can I do about it? For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. I got no problems getting through this day. Why am I worried about tomorrow? And yesterday's done. Nothing I can do about that one. Now there are some consequences that will come from yesterday into today that I got to deal with. But I can't worry about what happened yesterday. I can't worry about what's going on tomorrow. Let's take care of today, and especially spiritually. We have to stay in God's favor. We have to have the steadfastness in our hearts and our minds in order to be in a position where we don't have to worry. There's a big difference between worry and concern. Concern's in your mind, okay? And that's okay. Worry takes over your mind and becomes the priority. That's the difference. The Bible said, don't worry about it. God knows you need these things. If you're seeking the kingdom and you're seeking his righteousness, he'll provide. Now you can flip that around. If you're not seeking first his kingdom, if God's not the priority in your life and his righteousness, then he's not going to provide. You're on your own. And I'll ask you, how'd that work out? Sometimes good, sometimes not. But we know with God, it's always going to work out. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom. Take care of today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Go to Matthew 25. Excuse me, Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Right across the page. I was close. So start verse 35. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, and that's okay, but my words will no means pass away. Speaking about Jesus and God, my words will by no means pass away. And by the way, they were the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They don't change. We change. Our influences from outside world change. The influence that God has on us, that influence that he has doesn't change. Okay? So heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will no means pass away. But on that day and hour, no one knows. Stay cautious. Stay alert. Keep the vernacular today. Keep all your ducks lined up. Okay? Don't let Satan be in your life. That day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. God's the only one that knows when that day is going to come. And Jesus is going to be the one sent to do the judgment for those people that are going to be going with him. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. He's coming, just don't know when. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered the ark. They were having the times of their lives before Noah closed that door and it started raining. Are we not doing the same thing today? People are having the time of their lives, making millions and billions of dollars, spending it on whatever. Cars and women and alcohol and drugs and houses and whatever they can spend it on. Some of these people got more money than they could spend. Laughing it up, living it up. They're living and they're divorcing and they're remarrying and they're doing everything. But Paul tells us in Timothy, perilous times, are in the last days, and that started when Christ hung on the cross. Nothing's changed. We're just a little more aware of it because of the media coverage. But this is what's going on. This is what's going on today. People are not cautious. People are not staying alert to what's going on. They didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. Oh, they said, uh-oh, now we got a problem. We're done. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, we talked about that, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into, right? If you'd have known someone was going to break in your car, you'd have watched and wouldn't let it happen. If you have a business and someone broke into it, you knew about it, you'd been there and watched and wouldn't let it happen. So if we knew when God was, when Jesus was coming, we wouldn't have any problem, right? Well, Scripture's telling us here, be prepared because you don't know. Then verse 44, it says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Amen. I don't know. I have people out here forecasting the world's going to end tomorrow. Well, I'd like to know how they know that. They conjecture some idea up because they get a whole bunch of followers and a whole bunch of money, and they're doing what is going on in verse 43. Or verse 38. Just crazy. So be ready. We have to always be ready. Can't let things get in our way. We have to stay cautious. We have to stay alert. Matthew 25. Starting in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Most of us know this story. Now, 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. We're back to the same thing we saw here. One here, and one gone, and one stayed, and one gone. Okay, now we got 5 of them, 10 of them. 5 of them were stupid, and the other 5 was pretty smart. All right? To put it in our language. Those who were foolish took their lamps, they didn't take any oil with them. That's buying an electric car and driving 400 miles when it's only got a 200 mile range. What are you going to do? We joke about that, but that's true. All right? So those who were foolish took their lamps, they didn't take any oil. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They knew what was going on. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. A little siesta time. Not here yet. At midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Let's go out to meet him. Then all the virgins rose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, hey, we're out of oil. Can you loan me some? It says, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no. Lest we run out ourselves. Okay, I can't share this oil with you because then none of us are going to have any. Not my fault you're stupid. All right? But go rather to those who sell and then buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, now they're off somewhere at a store, right? The bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Are we going to be ready? Are we going to go with the bridegroom to the doors of heaven and then watch them shut behind us and nobody else in? Afterward, the other virgins came along. Johnny come lately, right? The other virgins came along saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And what did he say? He answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. You didn't take care of business. You're living this life on earth. You're out here dancing and marrying and having a good old time. You're not taking care of business. You want Jesus to say that to us? I don't think so. But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." There again, the virgins were prepared, five of them weren't. We've got people on this earth. Some are prepared, most are not. Some are going to be open to the bridegroom coming and have the lift and go through the doors of heaven. Some are going to be left behind. We know by scripture, many are going to be called and few are going to be chosen. Amen. And we know in Thessalonians that he's going to lift those that are righteous up into the skies and take them with him. The graves will open. Those that are still alive will be swept up also. And the rest, we know, are going to be left aside. They're going to be cast into hell. There's only two choices. There's heaven and hell. There ain't no others. I heard somebody say one time, well, there's got to be a gray area. Not with God's word. We talked about that in class this morning. There is no gray area. It is what it is, and he says what he says. And he's not changing. Because he doesn't change. All right? So we need to keep watch. We need to stay alert. And I want to end this in 1 Thessalonians, because this is kind of where it talks about all this. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes this letter to the church in Thessalonica, and he said, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." They're in good shape. Paul said, "You don't need me to write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as the thief in the night." He's just reminding them, okay? "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Those of you that have had children understand that. I have no idea what the pain is. I can imagine. And that's the pain that's going to be suffered. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness." That means you're not in sin. You're in the light. You're in good shape. "So that this day should overtake you as a thief." It won't overtake you because you're ready for it. You're prepared for it. "You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night or the darkness." We sitting here this morning are sons and daughters of the light. We're not of the darkness. "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do." Let us don't be out there sinning like the others. "But let us watch and be sober." That means being self-controlled. Don't get out of whack. Don't start dancing and partying and thinking everything's cool and forget about Jesus coming. "For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober." Let's be self-controlled. "Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Ephesians 6, chapter 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Well, to make it real simple, the whole armor of God is his word. If you're studying like you're supposed to, and you're showing yourself approved, and you're dividing the word of truth properly, you know what's going on, you're prepared, you're alert to what's going on, you got no problem. Let him come. "Let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Why? "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what God wants. Why do we fight with him? Why do we fight that plan of salvation? "Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort / encourage each other and edify one another, just as you are doing." And that's what we're doing. But we have to know that we have to stay alert. We have to know that things can't get in the way of doing what God wants us to do. One of those is attend a worship service. We can't let things get in our way that takes us away from worship. Whatever that might be. Got friends in town, bring them with you. Or explain to them, you got the house, I'm going to church. Worship. I don't like going to church. I don't understand what going to church means. I'm going to worship. Because we're the church. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, on Sunday morning, I want to go to worship. Okay? So, I mean, that's what we need to do. If we're going to do what the scriptures tell us to. Now, if we want to party and dance and have a good time and laugh and giggle and do all the things that was talked about, then it doesn't matter. Just go ahead. I wrote a blog one time, there's two buses. There's God's bus and Satan's bus. Which one do you want to get on? Satan's bus, you can do anything you want to do. You can do the drugs, you can drink, you can have adulterous affairs, whatever you want to do. Have a good time. Satan loves that. Well, God's bus, you're going to obey his commands. But that bus is going to take you to a home forever in heaven. The other bus is going to take you for a home forever in hell. So which bus do you want to get on? Be careful. Be cautious. Stay alert. Christ died for us. He gave us the opportunity to have repentance of sin. He gave us the opportunity for salvation. That opportunity comes fairly easy. All we have to do is obey him. Part of that obedience is having a death, burial, and resurrection in a body of water where we touch his blood. And then the other part of that is live righteous thereafter. If you're willing to do that, then it's time to put Jesus on in baptism. If you want to stay on Satan's bus, keep having a good time, don't want to repent of sins, that's up to you. God put us on this earth, we can all make choices. But be aware of the consequence. Scripture also gives us an opportunity to come together as one to another and say, I need some help. I've got some issues in my life. I've tried to fix them and I can't get them fixed. I need prayers. I need you all to talk to God for me. We're here for that. Yeah. And most of us know, sitting in this congregation, prayers work. We've all had experience. So if there is any kind of a need, as we stand and sing the invitation song, I'll let Eddie have the floor.